The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Ayin Aleph, and we are moving along in Perkei Zeu Neshech, a little more than 10 lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Amid Beis. Mar Bahoinoi B'Neshech V'Sarbis L'Choinein Dalim Yikip Tzeno. So yesterday at the end of the daf, we mentioned a Chiddush / Kula for a Moshe Feinstein and a Gris Moshe Yerudea Chelik Beis Simon Samach Kimmel, where a Moshe discusses somebody who puts money in a savings bank. And the idea is you're loaning the money to the bank in exchange for an interest rate. And the question is, to the extent that the bank is owned by Jews, would that pose an issue of ribbis? If it's owned by non-Jews, that will be the topic of today's daf, the idea of ribbis ba'akum. But if it's owned by Jews, at first glance, you would argue that perhaps there should be ribbis. And Rav Moshe said a chiddush. Again, he doesn't say it as a svara. It's something that he really vets out based on thorough working of some of the most difficult sugis in Shas, where Rav Moshe says that the definition of a loiva in Torah Shebal Peh is someone that is mishabed his guf to make sure that this loan is paid. And if the idea is shibud haguf, you need that the loiva should be a guf. You need the loiva should be a human being. A corporation is not a human being. So the bank, which acts as a corporation, would not be deemed a loiva halachically. So for that reason, you would not have the basic laws of ribbis. And we mentioned yesterday that this tshuva from Moshe is related to another tshuva, Neven Ezer, Chelik Aleph, Simen Zayin, where Moshe talks about owning shares in a publicly traded company, where the underlying company does things that are not oiskehalte and alpi mishpatei haTorah, whether it's working on Shabbos or in Yonei Chometz, ribbis would be an example. The question is, you the shareholder, are you complicit because of the fact that you own shares in this entity or not? And Rav Moshe says a surprising chiddush, that even though when you own stock in a publicly traded company, what you own is a percentage of the company. So from a theoretic standpoint, you are entitled to a percentage of the profits, a percentage of the losses, a percentage of the assets. Afal Pikin says Rav Moshe that halacha wouldn't view it that way. So that although midina de malchusa, you really are a shareholder, you're a real shutif, and it shouldn't matter whether it's a publicly traded company or a privately owned company, but from a halacha standpoint, we look as the shareholder's kinyan in this company, as if it's a kinyan bedover she'en by mamish. He questions whether halacha would even view it as a real kinyan. It's as if you own a derivative, a security of some sort, that lives and dies based on the profits and losses of the underlying asset. But you don't really have ownership in the asset. There is a concept of a derivative, whether it's an option or some other more sophisticated type of derivative, where you have an asset that derives its value based on the stock that it's tracking. But Rav Moshe was mechadish that even real shares, you have a certificate, it's hanging on your wall, even that, says Rav Moshe, is viewed, could be from a halachic standpoint, not as you having real membership, real ownership in this company, but rather you have a security, an instrument that will make money if the underlying company does well, lose money if the underlying company doesn't do well. It's for that reason, he says it could be, it's poshet, that it doesn't matter what the company is doing for a living, it's irrelevant, has nothing to do with you, the shareholder. And then he adds some of the svaras that we mentioned yesterday. Shareholders don't really have a say, and even though they want to make it as if you do, but in all reality, they usually have control, and even though they send these proxies out, you want to vote for this CEO or that CFO, but realistically, you probably don't have much say. He says a svara that you don't really care the shareholder very often, as long as you make your money, and he says he sees a lot of yorei chet, chashuv people, they own blue chip shares and companies that obviously operate on Shabbos, etc., etc., and he doesn't think it's an issue. It's me'inyan, le'inyan, but it's inyan. It's certainly related to this. But just the one point that's worth emphasizing that Rav Moshe's tshuva was talking about, where the corporation is the borrower. If the corporation is the lender, so for example, if you, a private individual, go to a bank for a mortgage, so you, the individual, is the borrower, the bank, the corporation, is the lender, then you don't have Rav Moshe's svara. Rav Moshe's svara is that a loiva is mishabed his guf, so you need a real live human loiva. In the reverse case, where the person is the borrower, not lending money to the bank, but you're borrowing money from the bank, in that case, is a regular loiva. So there you'll have real issues. That's why banks would have to write hatariska, etc. There, even Rav Moshe agrees that you wouldn't be able to rely on this kula. What if somebody has a company, a small business, and he goes to a bank for a small business loan or a nice-sized business loan, but it's a corporate loan. His corporation, his LLC, is the borrower. So Rav Moshe says, dear, it would depend, l'chura, at first glance, on whether there's any recourse to the members of the LLC or not. So if it's a corporate loan, that's non-recourse, so that if something goes wrong, the borrower could just hand the keys to the bank and says, so in a case like that, it would be a regular corporate loan, no different than the bank borrowing money. There's no guf, thus there's no shibud aguf. It would be okay. But if there's some personal guarantee, there is some carve out of guarantees on behalf of the members of the LLCs, and now already you're getting involved in a shibud aguf. The moment there's a shibud aguf, so now you're already running into some ribbis issues. Either way, moving along, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Mishlei. Mishlei Perik Chavches Pasuk Ches. Mar Bahoine Ben Eshech Vetarbis, somebody that accumulates wealth via ribbis, L'choinen Dalam Yikvetzenov. You should know that he's not accumulating this wealth for himself. He's not doing it for his family, but this is money that ultimately is going to wind up by the dalam. Says the Gemara, "My lechayin dalam. What kind of dalam are we referring to?" Amar Rav, "Kigoyin shvar malka." For example, the shvar malka. He was a Persian king or dignitary of some sorts, where he used to take money from Yidden and he would distribute it amongst his chevra. So ultimately, you should just know that if you accumulate wealth through Neshech Vetarbis, the Shvar Malka is going to get a hold of your money. He's going to take it away from you. It's going to be given away. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Huna, also known as Rav Huna, Loi Nitzrucha Elod Afilu Ribis Levi Kechavim. That this is true even for someone that takes ribis from a guy. Meaning you would think if you take ribis from a Yid, then you're over the regular Isser ribis in the Torah. But if you take ribis from a non-Jew, then it shouldn't be a problem. And we'll see a lot more about ribis Levi Kechavim. That is going to be the topic of the first half of today's daf. But Rav Huna said that this idea of Mar Bahoinai B'Neshech B'Tarbis V'Choinin Dalan Yikitzenu is true. Afilu ribis Levi Kechavim. I saw the Vilna Goyen, the Grod Mishle, he says that, how did Rav Huna know that this pasuk of Mar Bahoinai B'Neshech B'Tarbis is talking even about ribis Levi Kechavim? So he says, really, based on the Gemara that we're going to learn, the Gemara is going to say that you're allowed to take ribis from a goy, kidei chayav, if you need it to live. But if you're lending money to a guy in exchange for ribbis to accumulate wealth, yoiser mikidei chayev, that's something that's awesome. So the Gross said that Rav Huna was medayik the Lashon HaPasik. Mar bahoinai b'neshech b'tarbis. Only someone that becomes wealthy through ribbis. And if you don't become wealthy, if you're doing it to survive, then you're allowed to be malva ribbis. You're not allowed to. The teretz is, we're not talking about someone that's being malva to a yid. We're talking about somebody that's being malva to a guy. And someone that's being malva to a guy, in fact, there is no isser if you're doing a kidei chayev. The isser is only if you do it yoiser mikidei chayev. And the Vilna Goyen says, it's for that reason the Gemara gave as an example, kigoyin shvar malka. Shvar malka was the Persian king. Incidentally, you find many shvar malkas in Shas. Shvar malka was a royal name. It's like the pharaohs were the kings of Egypt. The Cleopatras were the queens of Egypt. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, talks about Artaxasta that you find in Nach. That was a royal Persian name. Talmai HaMelech. There were many Talmais. The Talmais were Greek Egyptian kings. After Alexander the Great, his kingdom, the Greek Macedonian Empire, was divided amongst four of his officials. One of them's name was Talmai. He got what we know, the area of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. His name was Talma, and all his descendants took that royal name. They all became Talmais. And the one that's most relevant today is Antiochus. So Antiochus, it wasn't just one Antiochus. The Antiochus of the Hanukkah story was Antiochus the Fifth, Roman numeral V. But there were many Antiochuses. He was a Greek Syrian king, right? Antiochus didn't live in Athens. He didn't live in Sparta. He didn't live in Macedonia. He lived in Syria. He was to the north of Eretz Yisrael. So how did he become a Yevani? Because his predecessor was one of Alexander the Great's Chassidim, and after Alexander the Great, who was Moshe the Kippah, he ruled over the world. After he died, his empire was divided. the Syrian region of his empire ultimately fell into the hands of the Antiochuses. But the bottom line is, the Gemara said, "Kigayin Shvar Malka." Why Shvar Malka? So says the Gra, very gishmak, because we're talking about somebody that's being marba hoinav in Eshek Tarbis. And that's only usher if you take it from a guy. If you take ribbis from a guy, you know where the money is going to end up? It's going to end up by the guy. There's just one interesting line in this Gra and Mishli. He says, "Mar bohine v'neshek v'tarbis l'chay mendalam yikbetzenu ki kol dover tzorech sheyuch sargum koymen." Karma. Money has to end up where it belongs. And if this was a guy's money, it's going to end up by the guy. The Shvar Malka is going to take it, he's going to give it to the guy. Naturally, if somebody took ribbons from a yid, it's going to end up by the Dali Yisrael. It's going to end up by the yidin. But everything ends up being where it belongs. And we can maybe temporarily manipulate the events and move pieces around. But at the end of the day, there's a destiny that everything has. Even money has its destiny. Kol dover tzorech sheyuchsar v'mkoymai. Very interesting, Lashon Hagra and Mishle. But the point is that being that Rav Huna said, we're talking about Ribis Toive Kechavim, that's why the example that was given in the Gemara was Kegoin Shvar Malka. But the Gemara says, Isvei Rav, the Rav Nachman, meaning Rav Nachman just said that he heard from his Chavir Rav Huna that if someone takes Ribis from a guy, L'chaynin Dalim Yikbetzenu, it's going to end up by the Dalim. Meaning, so to say, that you're not allowed to be malva ribbis to a guy. Frank Rav Akasha, it's a pasuk in the Torah. La nachri tashich uli achicha loy sashich. La nachri tashich. You're allowed to take ribbis from a guy. So the Gemara says, lav tashuch loy tashich. It doesn't mean that you're allowed to lend him money in charge of ribbis. It means you're allowed to borrow money from a guy and give him ribbis. Frank the Gemara loy sagi the lav hachi. It sounds almost like then the Torah is saying that when you borrow money from a guy, give him ribbis. You have to give him ribbis. Bishloima, take ribbis. Okay, maybe there's an idea. We'll see soon. It's the Rambam Shita. We're almost instructed to take ribbis from the guy. But give him ribbis, then the Loshin Lanachri Tashach doesn't seem right, says the Gemara. Lafuki achicha doloi. You're right. The emphasis is not give ribbis to a guy. The emphasis is if you'd like, you can give ribbis to a guy, as opposed to achicha not. But the Gemara says, achicha behedik sibbe. The next words in the pasuk, ulachicha loy tashach, says the Gemara. Laver olav ba'ese v'loisase. Lanachri Tashach doesn't mean you can lend him money for ribbis. What it means is you can borrow money and give him ribbis. But not that you're obligated to do so. You can do so. As opposed to a yid that you cannot do so. Doesn't the Torah in the next sentence already tell me that you're not allowed to give ribbis to a guy? To a yid? Ulachicha loy tashach? That's a lois aseh. Lanochri tashach is an aseh. We want that if somebody gives ribbis, there should be a lois aseh vaseh. Eseveh. Love and mehen. Umal v'noisem ribbis. Our Mishnah said you're allowed to borrow and lend money to a guy with ribbis. V'chein v'ger toshim. Same is true with a ger toshim. So bottom line is, even from this pasuk, lanochri tashach, you somehow were able to get out of. But the Mishnah is clear. Lovin umalvin. You can borrow money from a guy and give him ribbis. You can lend money to a guy and charge ribbis. So it's mafurish. Yes, ribbis with a guy. This that we said that it's usher to take ribbis from a guy, that's only to accumulate wealth. Like we said, that you can't do even for a guy. But if you need it to survive, that's okay. And if you take a look at the top line in Rashi, Rashi says something very important, that the reason it's okay b'chtei chayav is because the whole issur that our sugya suggests exists when it comes to ribbis with a guy is only an issur d'rabbanan. It's not an issur d'raisa. If it was an issur d'raisa, there'd be no exceptions. But being that it's only an issur d'rabbanan, so therefore b'chtei chayav the rabbanan will make. Ravina said, "Hacha b'tamid chacham maskinan." We're talking about a talmud chacham. A talmud chacham is allowed to lend ribbis to a guy. So an ordinary yid, no. A talmud chacham, yeah. And what's the svarah behind the time? My God's a rabbanan. What's the reason we don't want to lend ribbis to a guy? Because we're afraid that if you're going to lend ribbis to a guy, you're going to spend time with the non-Jews, and ultimately you're going to be influenced by them. For that price, Frank the Taz, why don't we say you can't do any business with a guy? So the Taz says something very nice. He says, because business, you don't necessarily have to do with non-Jews. You could do business with anybody. So once upon a time, people probably were a little bit more careful to do business with a yid than not with a guy. But ribbis, you can't be malva to a yid. So if you're going to go into the money lending business, and you're going to know, I can't lend ribbis to a yid. I can't lend money to a yid and charge them interest. But I could a guy. Ultimately, most of your clients, if not all of your clients are going to be non-Jews. So there's a chashash shem yilmun yimaisav. So the chachamim shot it down. They said that even though meikur hadin, it's okay, but shem yilmun yimaisav. Fakim the Talmud Chacham who lo yilmun yimaisav. But over here, being that we're dealing with a Talmud Chacham, we're not concerned that you're going to learn from him. So really, what seems to emerge from this Gemara is that even though at first glance, when you look in the Pesukei HaTorah, la nachri tashach, the Torah seems to be saying that you're allowed to lend money to a goy, it's certainly okay. There's an issa derabbanan to the point that mar b'hoined v'neshach v'tarbis, even from a goy, l'choinin dalam yikbitzenu, it's asa midrabbanan. But being that it's only asa midrabbanan, there are two very, very notable exceptions. And the exceptions are, number one, b'ktei chayiv, if you need the money to live, it's your parnasa, then it's okay. Additionally, a Talmud Chacham. So whereas a Talmud Chacham usually is treated more stringently in halacha, here you have a Talmud Chacham actually treated a little bit more l'kula. Over here, a Talmud Chacham would be allowed to be malva ribis to a guy. Stating that, there's a very important sheet of Sarambam that's worth mentioning. So a little bit of raid here on the front end of the daf. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's Mitzvah Saseh, Kuf Tzadik Ches, well-known Rambam. He shetzivonu levakesh ribis benagoy. Says the Rambam, Mitzvah Saseh deiraisa. It's a mitzvah to put on tefillin. There's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis and to say Krishma Shachris V'arvis. Says the Rambam, Mitzvah Saseh deiraisa. That when you lend money to a guy, charge him ribbis. And if you lend money to a guy and you don't charge him ribbis, says the Rambam, you mevatel a mitzvah saseh deiraisa. Which mitzvah? 198. The mitzvah to charge ribbis when you lend money to a guy. So you're not allowed to charge ribbis from a yid. Very chomer. There's a mitzvah saseh deiraisa you put on the kapata, the gartel, the shemichud. I'm charging ribbis. I'm being mekayim a mitzvah saseh deiraisa. The Rambam repeats this in his Yad Chazaka. In Hilchos Malva V'Lev Perikei Aloch Aleph, mitzvah saseh lahashrich legoy, shenemer lanochri tashich, mipi hashmu alamdu, shezu mitzvah saseh, v'zeh din Torah. Stating that, the Raivin and his Asagas Raivin does not agree with the Rambam. He says, loy matzasi shmu azu, the Rambam said, mipi hashmu, I didn't hear this rumor, I didn't get that memo. I never heard of this halacha. Where does this come from? It's based on a Sefri. The Magen Mishnah points out that the Ravid had a different understanding of the Sefri. So if you take a look at the Noisa Kalim, that this Machloikis Rambam Ravid would seem to revolve around the Lashon HaSefri. But the bottom line is that is the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is that not only is it okay, it's a mitzvah say deiraisa. Stating that, the Rambam himself says, Asru Chachamim. That's all on the deiraisa level. But midrabanan it's Aser. Asru Chachamim Shi Yisrael Malves like the Rambam goes on and he states his position, but the bottom line is on the deiraisa level there's a lot more that we're not getting into, but just to keep it very simple, on a deiraisa level the Rambam Shita is that not only lanochri tashach is it okay, but lanochri tashach means that is a mitzvah saseh deiraisa. Because of that, there's a gevaldige kasha that all the achronim bring from the Chavos Yoyer. Chavos Yoyer asks that there's a well-known Taz, we've spoken about the Taz in the Daf several times over the years. It's a Taz who mentions this Yisoid several times, and that is that even though we know Yesh Koich Biad Chachamim Laka David Ben HaTorah, B'Shev Al Taisi, Rabbanan have an ability, they have the authority sometimes to be Oikur David Ben HaTorah, but that's only if they're not being Oikur the Dvar Torah Legamre, they're not completely uprooting this halacha in the Torah. But if they're going to completely uproot a Dov Min HaTorah, that's something they're not allowed to do. One of the places that Taz mentions this Yisoid is in Hilchos Mila. We know that Mila is Deicha Shabbos. Freik the Taz, why aren't we worried that the Moyo may carry the Sakin to the Makom HaMila and it'll be over Hoitzah B'Shos HaRabbi? And just like the Chachamim said, no Shofar on Shabbos, no Megillah on Shabbos, no Dalad Midan on Shabbos, Gzeiru Shemi Yavi Renu Dalad Amis Bishos HaRabim. So why don't we say no Mila on Shabbos? Gzeiru Shemi Yavi Renu Dalad Amis Bishos HaRabim. The Moyo's going to carry the Sakin, says the Taz. The reason is, because if we're going to be Gezer, Gzeiru Shemi Yavi Renu, it's never going to be Shaykh to do Bris Mila on Shabbos. You're going to be Oikur, the Halacha of Bris Mila, Doicha Shabbos. And that is a Sugi Mefuresh, it's Perikrab Eliezer de Mila. The Gemara brings Mekairis to it, Bayoy Mashmini, the rabbis, even on Shabbos. So what happens to that drasha? You're taking a drasha and you're omitting it. You can't do that. There's a drasha in the Torah that says Mila's Deicha Shabbos. So how could we now go make a gzeira and say Mila shouldn't be Deicha Shabbos? Meaning when we say you can't blow shofar on Shabbos, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah blow shofar on Shabbos. It says blow shofar. So we're going to say, if Hashanah falls out on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there'll be shofar. If it falls out on Shabbos, there won't be shofar. We're not being oiker a dover min haTorah legamre. We're tweaking a halach in the Torah. We're saying, although there's a mitzvah tkiya shofar, 6 days out of the week. On Shabbos, there can't be any tkiya shofar. But if we're going to say there's no meal on Shabbos, so you're not being oiker mitzvah smila, but you're being oiker mitzvah smila b'Shabbos. And that is a dover amafurish b'Torah. It's learned out from a pasuk. It says the Taz, you can't be oiker dover min haTorah legamri. It's freik the Chavis Yair, as quoted by the Noi de Yehuda and the Chsam Sofer and Nagoyis, Maritzchi is right here in this Gemara, that if there's a mitzvah, I say in the Torah, to be malveribis to a guy, how could the Chachamim now come and say, Shema Yilmar mi myself, no ribis to a guy? You're being oikred of a man a Torah. You're taking a pasuk in the Torah, Nachri Tashich, that the Rambam understood as a mitzvah saseh, you're being oikred. And it's even more than Mila B'Shabbos, because Mila B'Shabbos is more. This is a mitzvah saseh. How could you be oiker ribis akum? According to the Taz, aren't you being oiker dover menatayr legami? And Maritzchia says that the Nei Debi Yehuda, and he brings it from the Shaar Melech as well, said a very posh to Teretz. We just said now there's two exceptions to this rule: Bechtei Chayav and Talmid Chachamim. So really, maybe you're not being oiker dover menatayr. But I saw in the Chassam Sofer Gevaldige Chiddush. The Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva, it's Yeridaya Simin Kuf Tes, says the Chassam Sofer, even though the Rambam said, this is a nice chap, that there's a mitzvah saseh deraisa to be malva ribbis for the guy. But says the Chassam Sofer, this is more mitzvahs kiyumis than mitzvahs chiyuvis. Meaning, it's similar to the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh in the Torah. But the mitzvah is only chal if you wear a beged shel dalet kanfes. If you're not wearing a beged shel dalet kanfes, there's no mitzvah. In fact, there's no mitzvah to go put on a beged shel dalet kanfes so that you'll be chayiv in tzitzis, so that now you'll have a mitzvah to put on tzitzis. If you're wearing a beged shel dalet kanfes, then you have a mitzvah of tzitzis. Says the Chassam Sofer, l'chura, mitzvah kuf tzadik ches, and the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot works the same way. If you lend money to a guy, there's a mitzvah saseh to charge him ribbis. And if you don't charge him ribbis, you're going to be mevatel that mitzvah saseh. But let's say I choose not to lend money to a guy. I wasn't mevatel a mitzvah. I'm only mevatel a mitzvah if I lend him money and I don't charge him ribbis. But I don't have an obligation to go lend him money so that I could charge him ribbis, just like I don't have an obligation to put on a beged shel dalet kanfes so that I could put tzitzis on it so that I'll be mekayem a mitzvah of tzitzis. So says the Chassam Sofer, the Chachamim's takana was don't lend money to a guy. That's not being oiker davar min haTorah. Oiker davar min haTorah would mean lend money and don't charge the ribbis. That's a task that you can't do. And even though it's b'shev al taisa, but you're being oiker davar min haTorah legamri. That's something that's problematic. But to say don't lend ribbis, don't lend money to a guy, period? How am I being oiker davar min haTorah when I don't lend money to... I'm not obligated to lend the money. I'm obligated to charge him ribbis when I lend the money. So if I would lend the money and not charge him ribbis, now I'm being oiker davar min haTorah. But to not lend the money, I'm not being oiker davar min haTorah. So says the Chassam Sofer, he doesn't think that it's a tushtel, and he thinks the Chavos Yoreh's kash is a tois, because in fact this has nothing to do with the Taz. But he just fears ice for the Chiddush. He says based on that, it would come out that according to the Rambam, even la'achat hakonas chazal, that you are not allowed to charge ribbis from a guy. If you would lend him money, you would have to charge him ribbis. Because it's true, the Chamu would not have a right to tell you not to charge him ribbis. It's a mitzvah saseh. And you can't be mevatel the mitzvah saseh. He's just saying that wasn't the Konas Chacham. Konas Chacham was not lend him money and don't charge him ribbis. Konas Chacham was don't lend him money. What if I lend the money? I don't have a choice. I have to lend the money. Then, I don't know, says the Chassam Sofer, it's Mefurish of the Chassam Sofer. He says, I would tell you to charge him ribbis. But it's just kedai to mention that even though mi'ikradin La Nachri Tashich, which according to the Rambam is a mitzvah, even the Ravid argues it's a rishos, but Mi'ikir Adin, there's no Issa Ribbis with a guy. The Chachamim said, there is an Issa Ribbis with a guy. Says the Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Hilchas Ribbis, the first of Katan Hilchas Ribbis, Simen Kuf Nun Tes, the Ha'idna Mutter B'cholimim. Nowadays, there is no Issa Ribbis with a guy. So there was a before and after, and then a before again. It was okay, and then it became problematic, but the Idna nowadays, and it's based already on a Tosfos and our Sugya, where Tosfos speaks out, it's Tosfos Dibur HaMaskel, Tashich, Loisagid Lafochi, on the bottom of Daf Ayin of a base, and Tosfos says something I think everybody would agree with, that if it's mutter to be Malva Ribbis to a guy, where it's kedei chayav. So Tosfos says meruvim tzarchei yamcha, and it's difficult for a yid to make parnasa. Everybody has so many tzrochim that he needs. Today it's considered kedei chayav. So today it's considered kedei chayav. So says Tosfos, as quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. There's other reasons given by the Poskim as well, but the bottom line is this is something that would already be okay. Where it's interesting from a halacha l'maisa standpoint is what about a mummer? What about a fraya yid? What about a yid who's not, he's not a shomer Torah, he doesn't keep Shabbos, he eats nevela, he is 100% not conducting himself, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Is he treated like a yid with regards to Hilchos Ribbis? Or is he treated like a non-Jew? And this is something that could be very relevant to halacha l'maisa, because a lot of the trouble, a lot of the problems in Hilchos Ribbis very often involve non-observant Jews. So how does halacha view a non-observant Jew? So it's a halacha psuk in Shulchan Aruch, halacha beis, mummer, mutter lahavoisei beribis. You're allowed to charge a mummer ribis. Vasa lilvois mimenim ribis. But you're not allowed to borrow from him ribis. As it relates to charging ribis to a mummer, there's many reasons given in the Rishonim, and obviously poiskim, why that would be okay. Some say that we're talking about a mummer that you're allowed to kill. So once upon a time, there were certain mummers that you were allowed to kill. So if you can kill him, you can definitely take his money, which others argue is not so pasha, because we spoke a lot about the moiser in the end of Masechtas Bava Kamma, the moiser you were allowed to kill, but you couldn't take his money, because maybe he has good children, and maybe, even though he's not such a good guy, but let the children at least benefit from it. Others say, because the whole idea of ribis is v'chei achicha imach. There's no v'chei achicha imach with a mummer, but perhaps the most well-known beer, and why there would be no iser ribis with a mummer, is because when the Torah shtels the iser ribis, it says, ule achicha loy sashich. The Torah is talking about your brother. And a mummer, because of the fact that he doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs, he's not a chicha. Why are all Jews brothers? Why are we brothers? It's because we have a common father. What makes two people brothers? The fact that they share a parent. So the mummer that's not acting as if he's a ben l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, he is someone that is not, by definition, going to be your brother. Because if he doesn't share that father, he's not your brother. We spoke to Sadam Masechtas Yevamim, the famous Mardchai. He brings from the Gaonim that it could be there's no Yibum with a mummer. So if Kiechvu Achim Yachtav, and one of the brothers died, and he was a mummer, so he brought from the Gaonim that it could be there would be no Yibum. And it's based on this halacha, the Ramban and the Sugya here, and others that say that there's no ribis by a mummer because he's not considered a chicha. And we spoke about many times, Zachim Mabum's Kasha. He says that chur at first glance it's a toys gadol, because over here achicha is the taich. We're not real biological brothers. We're all yidden. We're all brothers. You'll tell me the mummer's not a brother, but kiyesh v'achem yachdav means two biological brothers, because he's a mummer. So now he's not your biological brother anymore. There's a shubah from the Chassam Sofer. It's a lot of festerade as it relates to that. But either way, let's go a little bit weiter. Ikke demas nilo, a little bit weiter. Lahad rav huna, ahad tani rav yosef, im kesef, talva isami. So we had over here a line from rav huna, where rav huna said, we're talking about ribis of a guy. What was the context? The context was the pasuk in Mishlei, mar b'hoine b'neshech b'tar is even ribis akum. Ikke demasi, some had that line of Rav Huna, where Rav Huna interjected by saying something about ribis with a guy regarding a different halacha. Also an interesting halachic topic, and that is, im kesef talvas ami, esha'oni imach. And im over here doesn't mean if, it means when. There's an obligation for Reuven to lend money to Shimon to the extent that Shimon needs it. Halva is a very noble form of charity, and it's something that every single yid is obligated to do. So im usually is translated as if. Im over here doesn't mean if, but rather it means when. There's actually an obligation. I saw Dover Nifla, the Das Kein and Bali Tosfos, brings from Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid. I don't know if that's from Yehuda HaChassid, but he brings from Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid, one of the Rishonim, that said that if im really doesn't mean im, then why did it say if? Im usually means if. This im doesn't mean if. So why are we using such a misleading word? This is very important. It's a mitzvah saseh in the Torah that the Torah told us in a rather misleading way. So it says Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid that even though there's a mitzvah saseh to lend someone money, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that any person that knocks on your door, you should just give him money. You should look into the person. You should decide whether or not you're comfortable issuing this loan. So for example, someone that's a lev of a lev mishalim, you have no obligation to lend the money. That's the caveat over here of if. So it's tako chiyuv, but there's an element of if. Either way, it says ha'oni imach. So we learn as follows: ami v'nachri, ami koydim. So if a yid comes to you for money, and a nachri comes to you for money, you give it to the yid. Ani v'asher, ani koydim. Which you see from here, by the way, there's a mitzvah that says the rice of them kesef talvas ami even to an asher. The Gra, Bir Agra says that this Gemara is the Makar to that Halach and Shulchan Aruch. The Halach and Shulchan Aruch is that if an usher comes to you and he asks you for a loan, it's the same mitzvah. Now, it's true, the Ani comes first, but there is a mitzvah for usher. It's this Gemara right here. Ani Echa V'Ani Eircha. If you have a family member that needs the money, or someone in your shtot, what this Braisa does not talk about is what about Ani Eretz Yisrael, Ani Yerushalayim. So Ani Eretz Yisrael also comes up in the pecking order, and that's a shayla. Ani Eretz Yisrael, Ani Ircha. Who comes first? This tshuva is from the Chassam Sofer, tshuva is to Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolis. We've spoken out these tshuvas in the past. That could be Ani Yerushalayim also has a chashivos. But the bottom line is, if a Yid comes to you for money, and a guy comes to you for money, Ami Koidim, Amamar, Ami Venachri, Ami Koidim, Pshita, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li, who knows? Regarding this, the Rav Huna said his statement, if a guy comes to you and he's willing to give you 10% on your money, Ellie told me yesterday, we're charging 12%, we're too expensive. 10%. Cheap. A guy comes to you and he says, oh, I was too cheap. Oh, I'm sorry. 14%. And a gig wants money, but I can't give you ribbis. It's not okay. You're supposed to give it to the Yid b'chinam and not give it to the guy. And this is already a gewaldige chiddush. That means that I'm supposed to be mekayim my mitzvah of imkesef talves ami, even if it means I'm going to take a loss. Now the truth is, when it comes to mitzvahs, there is an idea you take a loss. I'm a vazviz al yivazviz yosef mechaymish. But up to a chaymish, there is an idea that you're supposed to take a loss. But either way, a Yid comes to you for a loan, a guy comes to you for a loan. The guy you can charge interest to, the Yid you can't charge interest to, you're supposed to give it to the Yid, even though you're not going to charge interest to him. An halacha that's a derivative of this halacha, we're in that securities world right now, and that is, the Rama in a tshuva says, that this is not only true for Inyanei Halva, but it's true for Mechichel Memker as well. So you want to buy something, and there are two people in town that sell this product. A Yid and a non-Jew. Says the Rama, you have to go to the Yid. And even if the Yid is more expensive, it doesn't matter. Because just like when it comes to Dinei Halva, you're supposed to give the money to the Yid, even though it means you're not going to be able to charge him interest. At the expense of the interest that you could have charged the non-Jew, so too when it comes to Mekachum Memkar, you're supposed to buy it from the Yid, and you're not supposed to buy it from the Eino Yehudi, despite the fact that you're going to be overpaying. It's Ramah, in Tshuvas Ramah, Simin Yud, and the Makor is this halacha right here. If you take a look at the Havas Chesed, that's from the Chofetz Chaim, of course, Dinei Mitzvah Salva, in Perek Hey, Halacha Hey, Halacha Vav, Zayin Ches, he goes through these halachas, but I'll just tell you one excerpt from his Nesiva Chesed, that's the commentary on the bottom to the halacha, like the Mishnah Brura equivalent. So he says, Val Korchach Kavanasa, even though the Ramah said that you're obligated to take a loss to buy from a Yid, Hecha Dunagei Rak L'Dover Mu'et. He says it's only if it's a Dover Mu'et. Dilav Hachi, Pashit, Ubarud, Eim Mechui, B'Dover Hazeh. But either way, some really interesting halacha l'maisa, in Kamakayim, it's not really our sugya, we're dealing with Hilchos Ribbis, the Gemara brought it in Derech Agav, but some interesting halacha l'maisa as it relates to doing business with Jews versus doing business with non-Jews. So people like to say, I don't like doing business with Jews. It's not so pashat halacha l'maisa because it could be that there's actually an obligation for a Yid to do business, give parnasa, certainly kidei chayav, to another Yid. So garnish nazoi pashat. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi, boy, urei sam yusenem shamavi ribas. Take a look at how blinded moneylenders are. Why? Adam kar l'chaveri rasha, yoreid imay l'chayav. If Rumi would go over to Shimon and he would tell him, you're a rasha, Yaredim Lechayev. Be lucky if he doesn't get hit by a truck. He'll beat him up. He'll be really upset. Yaredim Lechayev. Fehem? Neviim Eidim, Velavlar, Vekulmis, Vidyai, Vekoisven, Vekoisven. Plain is that, Kafak Alekei Yisrael. They sit down with Eidim and Shtaris and his closings and his Lechayims and everything. And what are they really signing? They're signing that you're a Kafak Alekei Yisrael, that on some level you don't believe in it. For that reason, you feel that you have to be Malve Beribis. See, he says the Malve Beribis, they're blinded. Because ordinarily, nobody wants to be called a Rasha. Somebody calls you a Rasha, Yoyodim Lechayiv. And over here, you have this idea that people are very comfortable being very open and public about the fact that they're being malva beribis. It's a very interesting Rashi. We quoted this Rashi when we learned Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Chav Ches Amar Aleph. If somebody calls you a Rasha, Yoyred Imoy Lechayev. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Rogalis koitet imoy. Means usually a fight's going to break out. Ukeilu bala hargoy. Sometimes it's like a serious fight. Nobody wants to be called a Rasha. But then Rashi says, Vanisha mati. I heard a different shah. Rashoi leireg letoichum nasay shal chaveroi. U lemaid mizaynoisav shal chaveroi. So if Reuven calls Shimon a Rasha, Shimon has a right. The Gemara is not saying or stating a reality. The Gemara is stating a halacha. Shimon has a right to be Yoredim Elechayev, to destroy his parnasa. Ulamayit mizaynois of shal chaveray. But Rashi says, the kasha be'enai sheyatiru chachamim liyisrael dehi nokem v'ligmah ra. Rashi says, this pshat just doesn't sit well with me. Such an interesting, how funny halacha. That if Reuven calls Shimon a Rasha, Shimon has a right to take revenge. That's a passing of the Torah. And to go after his parnasa, it just seems very, very strange. If you look at Tosfos, we spoke at this Tosfos at the time as well. Second Tosfos on the Yom. Kosev b'tshuvas ha-goyin and b'shem rav tzadik goyin. Yoyrit ima l'chayev, rashoi lisroiv shlish tfulasai. It brings from one of the Rishonim, you're allowed to destroy one third of his parnasa. The tema gadol minayim loizet. The tema gadol. He doesn't know where he got it from, but either way, it is a Rashi. At the time, we spoke out by Richos. Shiuri Hadaf at the end of Kedushin Chav Chesem and Aleph, a tshuva from Ramosha. If you remember the tshuva, there was a Rebbe that had a shtibol in Brooklyn, and some of his chassidim were turned off by some of the things that were going on, and they decided that they're going to defect. So they left, they opened up their own shtibol, and the Rebbe wasn't happy because he lost his business. A lot of his chashuva people left with him. He felt that they would be masik vul. They took him to the Torah, and ultimately the shaila ended up on the desk of the Pesach Ador, Reb Moshe Feinstein. And Reb Moshe over there discusses the merit, whether they had a right to, they didn't have a right to, and he goes through some of the arguments they made. So they said, number one, they didn't like the Nusach, and the Nagunim, they weren't really comfortable. These were probably survivors that were used to their Nagunim, and they weren't really comfortable with what they were listening to. V'oy, he says, the Rebbe gets angry sometimes, and he yells at them. And Maisa Shahoya Kachoya, where he once got angry in Shul, and he called the Oyelim communists. Which at the time was not something you wanted to be called. Communist. So you said communist. So the argument that Reb Moshe discusses and gives merit to in the tshuva is it could be that if he called you, if he called them communists, say he was a kairis chaveri rasha, yoredim alechayev. And Rashi says he could take away his parnasa. Tosfos brings it from the Gaonim. So Reb Moshe says two things. Number one, Rashi doesn't like it. V'oid, he says, I'm not sure if communist and Russia is the same thing. He says, because Russia is personal. You're a, what does it mean you're a Russia? It means you're not a Shem Torah Mitzvahs. Communist means you're affiliated with a party that maybe has certain beliefs. He's like calling somebody a Shegetz, but he's really a Shegetz. He's Gemalot. He's not a Shegetz. What does it mean? It means something, but it's not so personal. Russia is hitting the person at the core. It's more personal. He says, could be Adam Kar L'Chaveri, Russia. There it's Yerudim L'Chaya, but maybe some other adjectives. Maybe there it wouldn't really apply. Either way, a fascinating tshuva. If you want to look it up, it's a Cheshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Simin Lamed Ches. Says the Gemara Vayta. Tanya Reb Shimon Ben Elazar Oymer, Kol Mi Sheyesh Lo Mois. If somebody has money, Umal V'Oysam Shalei B'Ribis, and he lends it, but he doesn't charge Ribis. Olav HaKos of Oymer. It's regarding him that the Pasuk says, it's a Pasuk in Tehillim, Kas B'Lei Nosam B'Neshech, V'Shoichad Anoki Lo Lokach, Oyse Eile Lo Yimoyk Lo Oylam. So there's the reverse as well. If someone charges Ribis, and here's the reverse. If someone does not charge ribis, he will never have a mapala. He will be the last man standing. So what do you see from here? And if you are malva beribis, then your possessions are at risk of being lost. The Gemara says, I know people that lend money, don't charge ribis for coming smited in, and they lose their money. It's true they fall, but they're going to rise again. But people that are malva beribis and fall, they don't rise again. Lama sabit boigdim, tachrish kebela, rosha tzadik mimenu. Similar idea. Amar Afuna, tzadik mimenu boilea. Sometimes a rosha will be able to defeat and overcome someone that's more righteous than him. But tzadik gomor, someone that's a tzadik gomor, ain't a boilea. And the reason is because even a tzadik gomor sometimes will fall, but when he falls, he does rise again, thus. That's the segue here. That's the similarity to the previous halacha. Tanya Rebbe Yoimer, Ger Tzedek Ha'omer Le'inyan Mechira, V'ger Toshav Ha'omer Le'inyan Ribis, Eina Yodea Mahu. There's two psuki HaTorah Rebbe said that I don't really understand. The Torah mentions the Ger Tzedek in the context of Mechiros, specifically a person selling himself as an Eved Ivri. And the Torah mentions the Ger Toshev in the context of Ribbis and have a kasha on both of them. Says the Gemara, Ger Tzedek, Amal Inyan Mechiro, what is that? You're going to become really, really mach, very poor. You sold your possessions and you're in a bind. You just can't get out of your mess. So back in the day, there was an option. You could sell yourself as an Eved Ivri and you can work and somehow kricharois from your situation. It says the Torah that it may happen. And if it happens, v'nimka l'cha, you'll be sold possibly to another yid. V'loy l'cha l'ager, you may even be sold to a ger. Shenema l'ager. V'loy l'ager tzedek, not only to a ger tzedek, who's a full-fledged yid, el l'ager toisha. That's really a ben noyach that happens to observe the Zayim mitzvahs. Shenema l'ager toisha. Mishpachas ker zehanochri. The Torah says you may even have to sell yourself to a guy. What does it mean when it says in the pasuk, sometimes people even have to sell themselves to Eved Kecham? So the pasuk is describing a person that's very destitute, he's in such a bad situation, he has to sell himself to a yid, maybe even to a ger tzedek, maybe even to a ger toshav, maybe even to a guy, maybe even to an avodah zarah. You're literally going to have to sell yourself to mishamish an avodah zarah just to creep out of your financial situation. That it's possible that you may have to sell yourself to a ger tzedek. So what was Rebbe's kasha? Rebbe had a problem. He didn't understand ger tzedek ka'amad le'inya mechira. This was the kasha he had. It's mashma le'memra de ger koni avodah Eved Ivri, that a ger can own an Eved Ivri. Remember, I'll ask you a kasha in a ger nifne Eved Ivri. A ger cannot be sold as an Eved Ivri. Vein ish ve ger koin an Eved Ivri. Nor can a woman or a ger acquire an Eved Ivri. Ger lo nifne Eved Ivri. A ger can't be sold as an Eved Ivri. V'shavu mishpachta b'inon v'holekva. Because it says that by yoivol, what happens to the Eved Ivri? He goes back to his family. A ger doesn't have a family to go back to. Therefore, that pasuk doesn't apply to the ger. He's not included in the parasha. The ain't isha the ger koin neved ivri, and a woman or a ger cannot acquire neved ivri. Isha can't acquire neved lava erichara because it may come to pritzos. If this woman is going to own a neved ivri, it may come to arayas. Ger nami, a ger also can't acquire neved ivri. Gemiri, because we have a tradition. The makni, someone that could be sold as a neved ivri kani, can acquire an Eved Ivri. The loy makni, someone that cannot be sold as an Eved Ivri, loy kani, cannot acquire an Eved Ivri. So Rebbe didn't understand. The pasuk says, leger. It sounds like that this yid may be sold to a ger. And here we have a braisa that says, ein hager v'isha koin an Eved Ivri. A ger cannot acquire an Eved Ivri. So could you be sold to a ger? Or can a ger not acquire an Eved Ivri? Which one is it? When the braisa says that a yid can't be sold to a ger as an Eved Ivri, it means he can't be sold in a way that the halachas of Eved Ivri are going to apply. He could be sold and be treated as an Eved Kanani. So you're a Yid, you're not really an Eved Kanani. So that a Yid that's sold into slavery, you would think by definition is an Eved Ivri. You have here an Eved Ivri, Ivri in the sense that he's a Yehudi, but he's not treated like the Eved Ivri in the beginning of Parashas Mishpatim. The Tanya we learned to the Braisa, Hanirtza, the Hanimker Lugoi, someone that's a Nirtza. Or he was sold to a guy. So ordinarily, an Eved Ivri is Oved the Ben and the Bas. If the master dies, the Eved Ivri goes over be Yerusha. But not if you're Nimka L'Nachri. Not only not if you're Nimka L'Nachri, also not if you're Nimka to a Ger. So it's true an Eved Ivri could be sold to a Ger. The Braisa that says he can't be sold as a Ger just means that he won't have the full-fledged halachas of an Eved Ivri. Amar Mar. Agav Urchi, we mentioned this discussion of Ger Tzedek Omer Le'inyan Mechira, and we mentioned that Eino Isha Veger Koinem Eved Ivri. Says the Gemara, name of the Lord, Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, the time learned in the Braisa, Isha Koines Ashvachos, a woman can be Koines Shivcha, the Eino Koines Avad, but he can't be Koinem Eved. The reason is, again, for Pritzos reasons. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Leimer, Av Koines Avadim, Isha could be Koinem Eved. So this Braisa that we just mentioned, that very clearly said an Isha cannot be Koinem Eved Ivri, is it not like Rav Shimon Gamliel? The Gemara says, no, it's not muchach. Hafilo teim Rav Shimon Gamliel. V'lei kasha, kan be'eved ivri, kan be'eved kanani. What's the difference? Eved ivri tzniele. An eved ivri a woman can't acquire. You know what? Why? Because if this woman tries to do an avera, again, arayas, with this eved ivri, he's a tzinu, he's not going to walk around telling people about it. So she won't be afraid to force him into it, because she doesn't think that anyone's ever going to find out. Because he's an Eved Ivri, he's not going to walk around talking about it. But Eved Kanani, Paritzel, she doesn't trust the Eved Kanani. Because if she's going to do an Avera with the Eved Kanani, he's going to tell people about it. And ultimately, she will be caught. So, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, I allow the woman to own an Eved Kanani, Because I don't think anything is going to come from that. But I agree, I don't allow it to only have an ivri. Thus, this last braisa does work even in accordance with the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Elo ha detani Rav Yosef, says the Gemara. Rav Yosef taught, armalto le'sarbi kalba. An almana who doesn't have a husband should not own a dog. She shouldn't even raise a dog because we're afraid she may come to do an aveira, a rayas, with the dog. V'le'tashi barbe rabbi ushpiza, nor should a talmud chacham stay in her house. So bishleima barbe rav tzniel. I understand why you don't want the talmud chacham to be there, because the talmud chacham is a tzunua. She may force the talmud chacham to do an aveira. She's the host. Something may come. He's not going to talk about it. So she feels comfortable. She feels protected. It may come the day of it. El kalba, but a dog? The dog is going to let the whole world know. You know how? Kiven the Masrich Bey, Mirza. The dog is going to cling to her. And people say, why is this dog clinging to the Alman? Oh, maybe there's an Aveira going on. I mean, the Gemara says no, because Kiven the Chishadi le Umtza Masrich Basra. If she would feed him, throw him a bone, the dog would cling to her in the same way. People are going to say that that's probably the reason that the dog is clinging to her. It has nothing to do with Aveira. It's for that reason that it's okay. So this was the Ger Tzedek Ha'amr Le'inyan Mechira that Rebbe didn't understand. One last Gemara. Ger Toishav Ha'amr Le'inyan Ribis Ma'i. What was that pasuk? Tichsiv. It says, V'chiyamach Achicha U'mate Yada Imach V'hechzak Taboy Ger v'toyshe v'chei imach al tikach mi'itei neshech v'tarvis v'yareisa me'aloykecha v'chei ochicha imach. The pasuk clearly says, don't charge ribbons from a ger toyshev. Seems black and white. V'remini, I'll ask you a kasha, our mishnah, lovin mehen u'malvenoysen b'ribbis v'chein b'ger toyshev. You let a borrow and lend money, ribbis with a guy, and a ger toyshev. So you see, clearly, there's no ribbis with a ger toyshev. I mean, that is right, so it's a stira. The pasuk sounds like there is ribbis with a ger toyshev. The mishnah is pretty clear, there's no ribbis. Amrav nachem ba'yitzchak miksev al tikach me'itam. It doesn't say don't take from them. It says, true, the pasuk is talking about your brother, ger toyshev, but then it mysteriously ends in the singular form. Al tikach me'itoy. It should have said al tikach me'itam. Me'itoy. Even though we mention the ger toyshev, there's really no iser ribbis with the ger toyshev. The iser ribbis is only with Yisrael. Tanur Rabbanon. Al tikach me'itoy neshach v'tarbis. Avlat nasalei orivs. You're not allowed to borrow, lend money to ribbis, but you could be an arav. You can co-sign a ribbis transaction. Arav l'man. Ilei ma'arav l'Yisrael. Do we mean arav l'Yisrael? Meaning, Reuven is lending money to Shimon. Levi, a Yid, is going to co-sign this loan. Vatana, there's no way that that's okay. Elu, Oiv, Ribba, Leisase. The following Oiv, Ribba, Leisase. Amal, Viva, Leiva, Ha'arev, Ha'ed. Elo, what it must mean is, Le, Nachri. We're talking about, there's a guy. So, a guy is lending money to a Yid, and another Yid is going to co-sign the loan. That's already okay. You can't be an Arev if a Yid is lending money to a Yid. But if a Goy is lending money to a Yid, that's going to okay. But Freik the Gemara Kasha, the Kiva the Dina de Nachri Daza Basel Arva, apparently the Dina de Malchusa was that the Arev was the one that would have to pay the loan before the Loiva. That's not traditionally the way it works. A co-signer is the Pshat, that if the borrower doesn't pay, so you have someone else you can go to. You can go to the co-signer. That's Dina de Yisrael. Dina de Nachri at the time wasn't that way. So the Gemara's Kasha is Alam de Shakasha. If the Goy is going to go first to the Yid, then really the way we have to look at it from a halachic standpoint, as if the Yid borrowed money from the guy, which Yid? The Arev, and now he's lending money to the Levi. He's not the one that ends up with the money in his pocket. The Levi gets the money in his pocket. So there's two things happening. Arev is borrowing from guy, and then Arev is lending to the other Yid. In other words, a Yid is lending to a Yid. So how are you allowed to do that? How could you be an Arev for a loan where the guy is lending to a Yid? You, the Arev, become the loiva from the guy and the malva to the Yid. So the Yid and the Yid are malva of a loiva. If there's interest, it's regular ribbis. Amrav sheshesh, kibul olav lada b'dini Yisrael. It only works if they agreed that it was going to work b'dini Yisrael. Meaning, this guy can't go first to the Arev. He has to go to the Yid. So the guy is, in fact, lending to the Yid, the loiva. It's not that he's lending to the Arev and the Arev is lending to the Yid. But if they made up that they're going to do this, then why is there Ribbis? They made up, it's going to be Dina Yisrael in the sense that you go first to the Lev and not to the Arev, but it's not Dina Yisrael in the sense that there's going to be Ribbis, whereas real Dina Yisrael there is.